everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm Dave Johnson, joined by Eric Asherslager.
Hey.
Mac McIntyre.
Hackadoo.
And Alice Nelson.
Hola, Juani Paco.
And we will get right to it with a Friday Filibuster theater update with Mac McIntyre, fresh from the Big Apple.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Let's hear. What do you got? What do you got to report?
Oh, man, this is the part where I hijacked the whole show and
okay.
Talk about my big weekend. Yeah, I spent a weekend in New York.
But we should rename the show Max Big Weekend.
That'd be awesome. I spent the weekend in New York where I went to see Sleep No More.
All right.
And it was quite the experience. I've been trying to go over in my head what's the right way to describe the show to you guys, because it's like the more I describe, the more farther and farther down the rabbit hole you guys are gonna go. Basically, the show takes place in what apparently used to be a hotel, the McKittrick Hotel, and this theater group has taken over the first five floors and just transformed it into this, I don't even know what to call it, this experience. And the audience is free to just roam around the floors all they want. You can go anywhere you want. You can touch anything you want. You know, if you see a door that's closed, you can open it and go right on in and mess with anything that you want. So very immersive, very interactive. And as you're walking around, you encounter the actors doing their thing. And if you want to, you can pick an actor and follow his or her story, or you can just go on your own way and encounter other scenes and other parts of the buildings. Depends on how much you see, but after a while, you kind of get a sense of the story and you kind of don't. It's quite a trip. The other thing that you should know, and we're going farther down the rabbit hole here, there are three rules. One rule is that you don't speak the whole time while you're inside. The second rule is everyone is given a white mask, and no one is allowed to take off their mask throughout the whole time.
Wow.
And the third rule is simply fortune favors the bold, which tells you to, you know, get out and just explore and interact and get as much out of it as you can.
Well, I understand. It's like Eyes Wide Shut, basically, is what.
That's right. The same ending, right?
Bring you back.
People have compared it to that, actually, but it's not quite as twisted as that, but it gets pretty twisted. As I understand it, the first couple of floors are like a hotel. There's a big ballroom, and there's hotel rooms you can go in where the characters are staying. There are offices and like little apartments. One character's a detective. You go inside the detective's office, and you can read all his files and stuff if you want to. Then as you go up higher in the hotel, things get progressively stranger. There's an outdoor level with like a big forest with a hut in one corner that's always locked, or is it? And there's a graveyard, and then you go up even higher, and then you're on the hospital level. There's rooms full of hospital beds, and there's padded cells, and there's a big, huge room that's full of bathtubs. And because some of the stairways skip floors, you're never quite sure which floor you're on.
Boy.
And some of the doors and hallways take you in different directions, so you're never quite sure where it is you're going. But I think I lucked out, because they say you can't see it all in one go. So I actually got two tickets. I saw it Friday night and Saturday night. And my first night on Friday, I saw really a lot of the show. Because afterwards, I went on the spoiler sites and I started reading about what else was in there that I might not have seen. And I really experienced a lot of what there was to experience. And then my second night was just sort of, I revisited some of my favorite scenes and saw a couple of new things. But I think I really lucked out and I really saw a lot. And if I may be a little bit of a braggart, if I may toot my own horn a little bit. It's a very rare thing, because I mean there's only, I'm guessing, maybe 20 actors in the show and several hundred audience members, and of those actors there's a couple, I think only three or four, that will take an audience member into a locked room and do what they call a one-on-one, where the actor performs just for that one audience member. No one else gets to see what goes on inside that room. And it's
like a VIP room in a strip club.
this sounds more and more like you went to a sex hotel. Am I reading it wrong? I mean, I'm just trying.
There's this candy shop, and no, I won't go into the candy shop. Well, there's a candy shop. You can go inside and get all the candy. But after I saw a scene in the candy shop, I was actually privileged to have one of these one-on-one encounters that no one else got to see.
Wow.
Are you allowed to take any, probably not allowed to take any pictures or anything, right? Document these great things?
No. Well, you know, it's, it's not a sex hotel. It's a show. You know, it's yes. art. You know,
in quotes. So, are you doing that in quotes? It's a show. It reminds me like of an old Columbo episode, and you're doing this thing, and then you go into a room, and one of the actors has a knife in their back, and then you have to solve who murdered the, you know, the actor really gets murdered like a Columbo episode. Then,
just like just what you were saying, Dave, about the Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, that's right. How would it compare to that?
You know, I was gonna watch that episode before I went to sleep no more, but I ran out of time. So
that would have been you should have like just mainlined that one right after you. You wouldn't know which way is up when you woke up the next morning.
Sounds like it might have been like that Saved by the Bell episode if it were directed by like David Lynch or something.
Yeah, Sleep No More is very Lynchian because the sound is very oppressive. Like when there's not scenes with the actors. You know, but there's not the music for that. It's just this sort of that sort of industrial soundscape Lynch uses in a lot of his movies, playing as you're walking down a completely black hallway with no lights.
How long could you wander around? Was there a time limit on how long you could stay in the hotel?
They say it's 3 hours, but I think it's a little more than that because it takes time to get everybody inside.
Yeah.
And I wandered around for quite a while. I was one of the first ones to go inside. Again, tooting my own horn. And I wandered around for quite a bit before I encountered one of the actors, and I think all that time was getting people inside. So I would say it's more like 3.5 hours, mm-hmm. and the story cycles a couple of times. So if you miss a scene earlier, you can try to catch it again later in the night.
So can you tell who's an actor because they're not wearing a mask?
The actors are the ones not wearing masks. That's right.
Ah, there you go.
Sounds wild and woolly. So.
It is. It was something else. Yeah.
All right.
So, if anybody's in the New York area, check it out. It won't be there for much longer, so everybody go see it.
Very nice. Well, everyone else, you're going to abbreviate your thing, so then you get to Mass Effect 3. So, Eric, go.
I don't have much to talk about this week, so let's keep moving, I guess.
Alice, what do you got?
I saw Safe House at Denzel Washington, and you were worried a few weeks back about the old white man cabal being gone. Well, they're not gone. They're back.
Good. Oh, yeah.
They were back in Safe House. It wasn't just the American white cabal. It was the Israeli Mossad and MI6 in England. It was just an awful, predictable, evil whistleblower, you know, CIA's evil movie. So don't waste your time.
Sounds white man cabalerific.
It was, man. I was rooting for the cabal, too.
Well, they don't get much love, so.
No, they need it. They need
they
it.
Need the white man cabal. Yeah, white man cabal's burden. That's what I say. You know?
There you go.
You know, the more times you say cabal, I think of, like, a dance, a formal dance. They should have, like, the white man's cabal ball.
That's true. The, like, fundraise. Fundraise.
Exactly.
Help turn our reputation around.
There you go.
Okay, well, yeah, thank you, Alice, for kind of confirming my sense when I watch it. I'd just like to see something new.
I know, this isn't
new.
It.
All right, appreciate the heads up. For me, not much going on at all. Though I did hear rumblings that Fringe might be renewed for another season, even though like 12 people watch it, but hey.
I'm one of the 12.
And it's been kind of funny. My newly retired parents have been kind of just raiding my DVD collection, and my dad's especially been just looking for stuff to watch. I could tell he's probably bored with writing his book. So I'm just throwing these Hail Marys at them and said, hey, I got the whole series of The Shield here. You want to try it? And like, I mean, my parents would probably be the last people to watch The Shield, I would think. But and I called them up and said, yeah, we're pretty hooked on it. We're on season 2 already. So,
wow, cool.
So my parents are discovering the love and the tenderness of Vic Mackey. So yeah, I think I'll... Maybe next week you'll give him Spartacus to run around with.
That's taking a chance.
That would take it too far, absolutely. Okay, so talk about stuff we're working on for the site. Mac, have you been able to – did you take a hiatus during your magical weekend, or were you able to tackle it?
No, I'm a little bit behind, but I'm working on a review for the new DC animated direct-to-DVD movie Justice League Doom.
Now, is this the one – this is the one with Batman. He's got his list of how to take down the superheroes, right?
Right. He's come up with a contingency plan just in case – any of the other superheroes go bad, Batman's figured out how to take them out. And then, the bad guy's got a hold of the list, and now there's trouble. So it's pretty good, though. They do a lot of really clever stuff.
And I've asked you this before, but out of DC and Marvel, so refresh my memory, which studio I think does the direct-to-DVD animated stuff better?
I guess I have to go with DC on that, but they've got the advantage because they've done so much more of it. Yeah, and they've really got it down to a science, I think. You know, this latest run they're doing is they're going back to the graphic novels, and they're doing adaptations of the graphic novels, so they're not part of a series, but each one's a standalone, you know, based on different writers and artists. So it's great because each one's a different interpretation of these characters, which makes each one feel like something new and something exciting. So I've really been enjoying them.
All right, very good. Alice, how about you? What do you got cooking?
I'm reviewing a 1963 film called Charade with Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn. Supposedly a classic, but ... So
I was about to say, isn't that a classic?
it's supposed to be. You know, it's billed as the best Hitchcock movie that Hitchcock never made, but I just didn't get it. It wasn't for me, so I know I'm going to offend some people with my review, but I thought it was overdone and tried too hard to be clever, and it was convoluted, but I figured out who the bad guy was well before the movie ended, so I didn't think it was very classic. I wanted to watch a Hitchcock movie as soon as that was over.
Way to be a hater.
Thank you.
Classicator.
That's me.
The white man, well, doesn't have words. File a complaint. Yeah, let's see, was there any old white man cabal presence in that movie?
Oh yeah, actually there was.
Fantastic. See, they go back. Yeah. They go back far. You know, they're like the Knights Templar. You know? I think that's the next Dan Brown novel. You know, just like
the cabal.
The cabal. Yeah. Okay, Eric. What about you? What do you got?
I'm still working my way through the Mystery Science Theater set. Had a chance to watch all but the last half an hour of the last movie. They're really, really good episodes. It's a good good collection. A few that I'd seen before, a couple that I hadn't. The past couple sets have been very kind of Japanese movie heavy. A lot of this, they got a lot of the Sandy Frank movies available. They were kind of burning through those. And this is a bit more kind of variety. This also includes the episode where the draw isn't so much the episode itself as the fact that the host segment involves an ion storm and an alternate universe that is very much playing off of the Star Trek Mirror Mirror. That was the episode, wasn't it, Mac?
Oh yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have Mike Nelson with the goatee is the evil captain, and Frank and Forrester actually sit in the theater for one of the segments, and it's pretty cool. So it's a good set so far.
All right, little something called The Three Musketeers. You guys remember this movie, In and Out of the Theaters, a Paul W.S. Anderson?
Oh, that's the steampunk version.
The steam, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess, but...
Was Mila Jovovich in that?
Yeah, she's in it. She's in every Paul W.S. Anderson. and, like, Orlando Bloom just playing the biggest sneering douchebag ever. And not in a fun way, you know? He's just like, oh, what a douchebag. So, I don't know, how would you define steampunk, Mac?
I guess the correct definition is that you're using technology of the past, but with modern day know-how.
Yeah, okay.
What would they have done with the tools at the time if they had the knowledge that we had now?
That's a good definition, but given a little too much credit.
But isn't there a big airship?
They're just blimps. They're like ships, you know, with blimps, and there's like a flamethrower on it. So I guess you could call it that way, you know. And everyone uses like modern colloquialisms, but I'm just going to chalk that up to you know, lazy writing. And this line is actually in the movie. Like, the princess talks to one of the guys, says, he actually uses this line, in a battle of wits, you're an unarmed man. I mean,
no.
Come on.
Oh, I mean, my goodness.
Weren't we using those, like, in middle school? I expected her to say, I'm rubber, you're glue.
They've not ever went to Shakespeare Academy.
So anyway, just a terrible movie, a terrible disc cover too. What is it with posters and cover art? These weird like photoshopped covers of like people standing at odd angles. Have you seen? It's like the Avengers has done this. Three Musketeers has done. I don't know. For some reason, that's a big thing now. Bad Photoshop of people standing in
diagonal lines are supposedly really attention getting.
Is that what it is?
The characters have to stand at an angle. Yeah.
Well, the airbrush.
That way it stands out on the shelf, etc.
Yeah. So anyway, the movie blows. I just liked it. I just liked it in a big way. So,
do you have a good like anti musketeers pun that you're working with?
I'm open. You got something for me?
I don't know.
I got nothing. Think about it. Get back to me.
All right. Yeah, I'll think about it.
I mean, this D'Artagnan is one of the guys' names. So, can you do anything with that?
D'Artagnan. I'll see what I can come up with.
Put that in the old.
Ooh, how about Dark Crappian?
That's not bad.
That's not bad. Dark Terrible.
That's not bad either.
I don't know. Okay, all right. Well, you know, it's your review, Dave. I'm not going to write it for you.
All right, Mac, take us to phase two, please.
Is it a hit or is it an error miss?
That's not bad.
I like that.
A little too highbrow for this crowd. dark crapping is probably.
All right, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming releases tab. I'm going to scroll down and hit the link for the cover art gallery for March 13th. And we're just going to talk about whatever's on the list. Starting things off, we've got The Adventures of Tintin, which is a big holiday movie from last year.
I saw that. That was pretty good. I wasn't expecting much. It was a really good movie.
Yeah, did that kid look creepy, or did they get the eyes right?
They got it better than in Polar Express. Yeah, right. It wasn't as creepy as that.
I think this movie had a better pedigree. It was written by Edgar Wright and Joe Cornish. Right. And I think Spielberg, I don't know if he worked on it, directed it, I don't know what he did.
He directed it. Peter Jackson produced it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, there you go. You guys, a lot of Spielberg, fireball. Jackson, Wright, Cornish, yeah.
It was well done. Bag of Bones. I just started reading that book.
No, don't watch it.
Yeah.
I know. I can't watch it until I'm done, so I'll watch it next year, the way I get to read around here.
Well, apparently Pierce Brosnan's in the book, so you have to be very careful. Sorry, spoilers.
Uh-oh, sorry.
Okay, I'm gonna strike this from possibility of inevitably seeing this on a DVD release, but Battle of Big Hole, you cannot use that.
Come on, that was on my list.
Sorry.
Man!
Gone.
All these rules.
Oh, there's Three Musketeers, Dave. I see what you mean.
Yeah, pretty terrible, huh?
He looks rather plasticky.
He does look plasticky. I wish I could say his acting, you know, would be better. Something for, I know, my child and Eric's child alike, Yo Gabba Gabba Live.
Oh, really? Yo Gabba Gabba Live?
And I found too late that Yo Gabba Gabba Live came to, like, Boston College. I should have jumped all over that.
But, oh, man.
But I think my daughter's too young and would have been freaked out, so.
every night is Yo Gabba Gabba Live in the Astor Steiger house. Did anybody see the show The Killing? This is a big
The AMC show, right?
Yeah, the AMC show that everyone loved at the beginning and hated at the end.
Oh, really?
Apparently, like, people were praising it to high heaven at the beginning, but then it just fell off a cliff. Apparently,
and they didn't renew it, right? That was just.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Wow, really?
Was it sort of Twin Peaks-ish?
I think they were going for. I think they might have been going for that, given the cover and the tagline "Who Killed Rosie?"
Exactly. That's true. Yeah, I know.
It was like one crime and like looking at from different angles. Like, isn't that what it was? Like one
something crime. Like that. I think it just sounded like it had a really compelling premise at the beginning and was kind of done in a smart way, and then it just meandered until it stopped. So, I mean, AMC obviously has some great shows, but they also have some kind of middling things too. They're really trying to, you know, they're making a go of it. So right. Good for them, but it doesn't sound like it's a Breaking Bad or Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
I got season 5 of The Guild, which I believe this is where they go to the convention.
Yeah, I only saw it through season 4.
Oh.
Right. Check it out. It must be online, too.
It is, yeah. At least it was a couple months ago when I saw it, but really funny stuff.
Yeah, the DVD sets are pretty good. I've reviewed a couple of them. They, you know, they pack a lot of stuff on there, and it's nice to be able to watch the entire run with one go, with like the intro and closing credits removed, because it really does tell like one like hour and a half.
Right, it feels like watching a feature.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, you know the score. Purchase, support DVD Verdict. We'd appreciate it. So, okay, inadvertently see this on a DVD release of the week, and you can't use the Battle of Big Hole. Matt, go.
Ah, boy. Stuck Between Stations.
All right, I don't know what it means, but it was on my list.
That's right. It's not bad. Well, you're the one who went to the sex hotel, so. All right. Alice, how about you? What do you got?
The Swell Season.
That's I like that. Eric?
Russian Dolls.
That's a heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking pornography. Isn't it?
Well, not necessarily, Dave.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
It all takes place in a breadline.
I'm just going to go with the simple one. Bag It. So. Okay, hey, let's go to our ambush topics, random topics thrown at each other for fun and amusement. I'll go first before I forget mine. This one might be a little tough, so I'm going to ask you to summon on all your brain power for this. Montage, and because I'm playing Mass Effect 3, I got this Kingdoms of Amalur game, so I'm into the action RPG stuff right now. So a montage that shows some serious character progression. It'll be tough, I know.
Yeah.
I can think of, like, transitions, but I can't remember if they're actually montages.
We'll give you a wiggle room.
Well, I'm thinking of in Castaway, there's a whole big lead up, and then all of a sudden he's like emaciated, and it's like a billion years later, and he's like, I don't think there's an actual like montage. I think it's more just a quick transition. But
I didn't do a montage of not eating, you know.
Exactly.
But I'm gonna let that fly because it is pretty dramatic, so we'll let that roll. That's okay.
What about the montage scene in the first Rocky where he's training with Apollo Creed and he goes from, you know, fighting his enemy to training, and then they hug on the beach in those really tight
Rocky,
shorts.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good one.
Yeah,
the short
shorts.
That's rough. All right, Mac.
The only ones I can think of are just like the Rocky ones, the training montages. I don't know, in Captain America, we have the montage of him in the USO show running around in the States, and it ends with him out in Italy with the real soldiers.
That's not
bad. He sees the horrors of war. It's more of a jarring transition than as a montage.
Well, you also don't. I mean, in that same movie, there's a montage of just how he and his commandos just start dominating too, right?
That's true. Yeah.
And he ends up as a total stud. So this was a tougher ambush topic, and I only thought of it because of I was just thinking about this movie, but the 13th Warrior, where Antonio Banderas learns the entire Nordic language by sitting around a campfire.
Oh, that was convenient.
So it's like three campfire scenes, and he becomes fluent in, you know, Danish or whatever. So that was a movie I love dearly, and it needs to be on Blu-ray. It's on Blu-ray in Germany for some reason, but that was always kind of like, maybe they should just, you know, just ignored the language barrier and just ran with it. So, and they said, "Oh, how'd you learn a language?" I listened. Okay.
It's a lesson we could all learn.
Yeah, it's a Rosetta Stone. He went to Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's language immersion.
Full immersion. From a campfire. The only things he learned are like, you know, how do you watch a wiener cooked or something like that. Well done. All right. Mac, what do you got?
All right, well, going back to Sleep No More, which is a show and not a sex hotel.
Yes. So you say.
Max Great Weekend or Sex Hotel?
So many.
My topic is Strange and Unusual Masks.
From that lousy movie, V for Vendetta.
Oh, yeah.
Silly white
Guy
mask.
Fox mask.
Yeah, the Guy Fox mask, that's right. Did you ever? I never saw that movie. Did you ever see Hugo Weaving? Does he ever take his mask off in that?
Well, you can spoil it. Huh?
I will never watch that movie.
And you shouldn't.
I personally thought the movie was pretty good, but no, we do not see him with the mask off.
Well, is he like disfigured?
That's the story. Yeah.
Okay.
But it goes into kind of like metaphor territory at the end, so we're not sure.
Yeah.
Well, since I already referenced Eyes Wide Shut, I'll do something else. I'll go with Scream, the Scream movies, and the ghost face mask.
It's iconic. Iconic.
Mm, it sure is.
It is.
See them every Halloween.
Okay, I'll go with the plump old lady mask from Total Recall.
Oh, yes. That was great.
That is.
I'll say no more. We'll just let the picture play in our heads.
And, well, for mine, I can't top the old lady from Total Recall, but I went with the, again, to get a highbrow, I went with Amadeus in the great costume party scene, where the one guy thinks he's talking to someone, but the person turns around. He's got like a two-headed mask with one face on the back of his head, and the smiling face is on the back of his head, and the frowny face is in front. So when he turns around, it's like he starts frowning. So, good stuff.
I like that movie.
Yeah, that'd be a great Halloween costume.
Ooh, another great mask. Speaking of that, right, Jim Cotta. There's a scene with the guy who wears the mask on the back of his head. You know,
he's a
human mask. It's very
that,
weird.
That kind of monk guy, right?
Yeah, the monk guy. Yeah, that's right. a town of crazies.
I feel honored. This is the first time I've been on the podcast and you've mentioned Jim Cotta. So.
Do you not own it? Do you not own the movie?
I I do not own it. I'm sorry. I saw it
$3 at Amazon or something right now.
I saw it on commercial television, and I thought,
Oh, you did? Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I thought, well, maybe I won't spend the $5 on this.
did you watch the whole thing?
I couldn't. I'm sorry.
By the way, everyone at home, take a drink.
There's a great montage of that one as well.
I'll have to watch it again, though.
Hey, would you say, speaking of montages, Conan's montage and Conan the Barbarian? Does montage have to have music? What do you think? I don't know. Maybe I said music.
Wasn't there music?
I just think like how he's. It's kind of like this narrated montage where he's like training and.
I mean, it's not going to fly now, but.
That's true.
There's another one at the end when he's setting up all the death traps just before the final.
That's not bad. All right. We're off topic here. So, Alice, what do you have?
I've got best real woman fighting a man scene. So, you know, you have these, like, little 90-pound women fighting. The best one that you can remember that looked real.
Well, I got to say, I like where you're going, Alice.
Cool.
But I got to say, I want to see the commercial for the female version of Taken with Ashley Judd.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that looks bad, doesn't it?
I mean, Ashley Judd. I mean, what about that girl from Haywire? Now, she looked like she could just dominate some guys.
There you go. Exactly.
Man, but Ashley Judd, come on. All right. Back to what you were saying. So the best...
real woman fighting a man scene.
All right.
Maybe this is a little bit of a cheat because both characters have superhuman powers. But I always really liked the fight between Wolverine and Deathstrike in X-Men 2.
That was good.
She really cut him up something good. Yeah.
That was a pretty good bout. I can't remember what I gave up not referencing on Friday. Saved by the Bell.
He-Man is He-Man.
He-Man, okay. I'll go with another Saved by the Bell reference. Let's see. Oh, what was her name? It started at the tip of my tongue, but I can't... Nikki? No, Nikki, that's Kelly's little sister. I can't remember her name, but she was a female wrestler. And she was going out on a date with Zach, because obviously Zach dates everybody. Some a-hole from Valley was put Zach in a full Nelson in the max. And man, I can't believe I can't get her name. It's right there. But she comes to Zach's rescue and just... you know, blast the guy, and then meets up with him later in a wrestling match and destroys him again.
She was a real female wrestler?
She looked legit, actually. Uh-huh. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe the actress had a stocky build, but I don't know. she looked like she could do some damage. And it'll come to me her name, so.
Okay, well, at first I was going to go with the Mae Whitman character in Scott Pilgrim. She mostly fights Ramona in that scene, but there's a scene at the end where Knives Chow comes back, and she and Scott together, I think, fight Gideon. So that's technically I think the girls who fight in that movie are awfully good. It's a great movie, but I think that it's a stylized movie, but I think it doesn't feel cheap when they do it in that movie. So I'm gonna go with. Either
the girls of Scott Pilgrim.
The girls of Scott Pilgrim.
That's a good one. I'm going to go with, my husband and I were talking about this the other day, True Romance, and the Patricia Arquette scene. She's fighting the dude in the bathroom.
It's
a long time. I think I have a faint memory of that. It's been a long time.
She gets her butt kicked, but she ends up, spoiler alert, she ends up killing the dude at the end, but that was a really awesome fight. So that's why I came up with my topic.
Very nice. All right, Eric, finish it off.
All right. TV show with a gimmick.
TV show with a gimmick. Does it have to be? Can it be a reality show?
It can be whatever. As long as it's on TV and it's not He-Man. Or Star Trek, Mac. Or The Simpsons, me. I mean...
Oh, okay. I know what I'll say. Go ahead.
No, you're not going to say mine, trust me.
It's a show that I'm watching and I like, but it's full of gimmicks and I'm falling for the gimmicks. The River. You know, every time I know. But
no, it's fine. Mike Rubino used to like V, so we're not judgmental here.
Don't judge me. But, you know what's going to happen. Every time the camera quivers, something's going to happen. Anytime they show a character in a certain light, they're going to get dragged into the swamp. But I'm falling for it every time. I'm just waiting for the next, episode to come on so I can see what kind of gimmick they're going to use. They're using everything you could think of. They're just throwing a kitchen sink in this thing. I don't think it'll last past one season, but I'm going to stick it out because it's fun.
All right.
Okay, mine was this is one of those, you know how we have these just random memories from pop culture memories from childhood that just get tattooed in our brain. So this may have just been one pilot episode. I can't imagine it lasted more than a couple episodes. But there was a sitcom called Dad's a Dog. And it's not even as cool as it sounds. Like, it's not even like, oh, he turns into a dog. Or, no. Like, he plays a dog's voice on a sitcom.
Oh, weak.
I mean, and I'll double check this. I'll research this, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Dad's a Dog, and so he just voices a dog on a sitcom about a talking dog.
Yep, you're right. I'm looking at IMDb right now. That is it.
Nice. Wow. How many episodes were made?
I don't know. It doesn't. It just lasted 1989 and nothing further.
Nothing further, yeah. So
Noe got hit by the car and his soul got transported into the dog and now the dog's box.
I wish it was like Child's Play, where he does a ritual or something. Nope. Nothing. It's like the worst it's just such a terrible idea. And I'm going to steal another one, too, because I have another memory of this, and I also got to look this one up, too. There was another sitcom called The Charmings.
Oh, yeah, I remember The Charmings.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one, too.
Domestic sitcom with Prince Charming and stuff. I mean, that one may have been a touch more clever, because I think it was kind of the juxtaposition of them in the modern world.
Right. Well, I never heard of that. Yeah. 1987 to 1988.
Whoa, all right. Year.
Not bad.
That was a prime time show, The Charmings. I remember that. All right. Well, this is kind of from that same era. We had a lot of gimmick sitcoms. You remember What a Dummy?
Oof.
This is the family of the ventriloquist dummy that came to life. And it was a ripoff of Alf, basically. But instead of an alien, they had the hokey ventriloquist dummy.
Whoa.
And made wisecracks and stuff.
Sounds scary.
If it had been scary, it would have been a lot more interesting. But instead,
how it usually works, doesn't it?
All right. Well, mine is actually a good show with a gimmick, and I just recently checked it out on Netflix and burned through all 7 seasons in a hurry. It's a British show, so each season's like 6 episodes, but still, it's called Peep Show. And it's a sitcom, half hour comedy, with the comedy duo Mitchell and Webb. And the basic conceit of the show is that every shot is from someone's point of view. So it can be the main characters in the scene. It could be someone and nearby looking at them. Whatever it is, they don't make it so inflexible that it kind of makes the show gimmicky. But it is sort of the conceit of the show. Really funny show. Very. It's the kind of thing that you would never, ever, ever see on American TV. They do things that in British prime time, as we know, that I think that pay cable stations in the U.S. would probably think twice about doing. there are sequences and situations on the show that I think even Larry David would say, I think that's a bit much. But it's very funny. Very funny. It's on Netflix. And if you have the stomach for some, some adult material, it's funny. It's a very funny show.
All right. Very good. And with that, we are done with the Friday Filibuster. So thank you, Ellis, Mac, Eric. Always appreciated. Friday Filibuster, DVDverdict.com is the email. So with that, Mac, take us away.
Fortune favors the bold.